జయమనిల ప్రేమదన కరుణా ప్రచూన ప్రభు కోట గేలాచార్య ఠాకూర స్వరూప కనా రాగు నా పతి పామర పదు కాకలే కోట గేలా అనలే పశివోరంగు నేరా నిలి పావ సంగ సంగీరా సంగే జయ కైలో బీరా సబ సంగీరా సంగే సంగన పయ్యా కందే నరుదామోదా సంగన పయ్యా కందే నరుదామోదా ప్రేమదన కరుణా ప్రచూన ప్రభు కోట గేలా ప్రభు కోట గేలా జయ నంద ఠాకూర Jaya Vaishnava Jaya Vaishnava Jaya Vaishnava Jaya
So this is quite an auspicious month. We just had Akshaya Tritiya, then Sita Nomi was there, yesterday was Rukmini Dwadasi, today is Jayananda Thakur's disappearance day, tomorrow the Sringa Chaturdasi, and Purnima is the holy appearance of Radharaman Lalji. It's a very auspicious month. Did I miss anything? Anything else is there? Though it's one of the hottest months, and this year I think it's record-breaking month. But so many auspicious things are happening. So we're going to talk about Jayananda Prabhu. But first we'd like to make a few comments about, since tomorrow is Nrisimha Chaturdasi. We were hearing yesterday nicely about Nrisimha Dev. So one part of this, the Shingadev Leela actually took place here in Braj. In Govardhan, just opposite and down the road a little ways from Kusum Sarovar, you go a little up from Kusum Sarovar and there's a big gate, and you go through the gate about 300 meters or so, and there's a Narada Kund and Narada Ashram. Because what happened was Narada Muni was there at Govardhan Hill near Kusum Sarovar, and Lord Krishna appeared on the scene and he began to offer so many beautiful prayers. Because Narada Muni is always singing the glories of the Lord. Narada Muni Bhajai Radhika Ramana Name. So Lord was pleased with him and said, "Hey Narada, why don't you stay here and do your bhajan?" But Prabhu, I'm cursed, I cannot stay anywhere for a few minutes." "Are Narada, that's in the material world. This Brajadam is not part of the material world. That curse has no effect here." So he made his little ashram there at Naradakund. And the mahant of that ashram, his name is also Dinabandhu. But Dinabandhu Sharan, he's in the branch of Nimbarka Sampradaya. In this particular branch, they always put their names Sharan. It's like we say at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Mami comes Sharanam Braja. So to take shelter or to become the Das, almost practically the same thing. But his name is Dinabandhu Sharan. So I haven't really looked for any praman, but Dinabandhu told me that this is the place where Narada Muni brought Kayadu. Anybody know who's Kayadu?
Mother
of Prahlad Maharaj. So I haven't looked for any praman, but I'm his authority. And it makes sense, Narada Muni couldn't have an ashram anywhere else because he can't stay in the material world anywhere. So this must be the place where he heard Prahlad Maharaj, heard the instructions of his spiritual master, even within the womb of his mother. So it's very important for the ladies who are with child, especially after 7 months the child becomes conscious. So you should chant your rounds very nicely and loudly, and you should read especially Bhagavatam very loudly for the benefit of your child. So one part of this Nisshringadevi Leela happened here in Braj. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhati Swapadandigam Aradana Srinandandai Vritam Yachay Punapur Sri Marupa Padambhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Kasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpadrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namah. So I'm a little sad today. Usually there's a whole bunch of devotees here who can share their memories, but I guess I know, you must have some memories of. No. So I'm the only one who has present here who had some memories of Jayananda Thakur. So Jayananda, he was born, I assume in Ohio, because he went to the University of Ohio. His name was Jim Kaur. And he studied very nicely. He got his degree. And he could have got a very nice job with that degree and earned a lot of money. But he was frustrated with his mission. What is the use of making money? What is the use of this world? He didn't fit in with all those people with ties and coats and, you know, you're all tied up with this. We call it monkey suit. He just didn't fit in with them. So he basically became a cab driver because you don't have to, you're your own boss and you just drive people around and just, you know, a little bit of interaction with the people. So he got a job as a taxi driver in San Francisco. Usually Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu was here to tell the story. He was doing some work in Delhi and he ran into this young Sikh gentleman. And he started to explain to Bhaktisiddhanta that he had been a foreign exchange student. That somebody from America came to India, somebody from India went to America to study. We call this foreign exchange. So he went to the University of Ohio. And he started talking about his roommate. He said, a very interesting roommate. He was American, but he was completely different. He was always talking about God. He never smoked. He never drank. He never messed around with girls. He was a very different person. The Bhakti said, what university? He said, well, the University of Ohio. Do you remember your friend's name? He said, I think it was Jim Kaur. And Bhaktisiddhanta practically fell over. What is the chance of running into some, in Delhi, you know, 20 million people there, what is the chance of running into somebody who went to school with Jayananda? Impossible. So then he told him, no, that person became a great saint in Krishna consciousness. So he said, yeah, he was very serious about his studies. He never smoked, he never drank, he never fooled around with girls. He was very reserved and always talking about God. So somehow he came to San Francisco, he was driving a taxi cab. He's probably one of the few beginning devotees who had a job. At least he had a job of some sort. And who wasn't on drugs and wasn't doing all kinds of nonsense things. But he wasn't satisfied. I wasn't satisfied with life. All of us, about that, somehow in the late 60s, there was some special energy in America. We were all dissatisfied. We had everything. I was also born in a very affluent family, but I was unsatisfied with all this material opulence. So, one day he saw an article in the paper that this Swami Bhaktivedanta was coming to San Francisco to teach everybody the chanting of the holy names of God. And that, what's his name? Who was that famous poet? Allen Ginsberg was organizing, everybody should come, bring flowers and incense and bells. So all these crazy hippies with long hair, flowing robes, and you know, purple capes and all kinds of crazy outfits. And flowers in there. When you come to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. The famous song. So they have flowers in their hair. Practically, Jim Kaur was the only straight person there. We used to call them straight people. He was the only straight person there. And just by seeing that ad, he got some idea. This person is going to show me something special. I have some feeling about this person. And when he saw Prabhupada, he was just totally overwhelmed. So they had a little storefront on, because in New York they started Krishna Consciousness in a storefront, so that was our model. In the old days we used to rent some old storefront and made it into a temple somehow or another. So, I can't remember, it's Frederick Street, I think. Right near Haight-Ashbury, famous Haight-Ashbury. And the Hell's Angels had the building next door to us. So, you know the Hell's Angels, these are a group of, they ride around on big, fat motorbikes, and they like to get in fights with anybody and get drunk and all kinds of crazy things, crazy people. But they were next door. But they liked the devotees, made sure to give them lots of prasada to keep them happy. And nobody, anybody messed with the devotees, you had to deal with the bikers. So he started coming to Prabhupada's class, because he liked it. It was early in the morning. Everybody else was just coming down from their trips. They were conked out. Hardly anybody ever came for Prabhupada's morning classes except a few devotees who were there. And sometimes it said Jayananda was the only person there. He would listen to Prabhupada. And he was fascinated by everything that Prabhupada said. So eventually he wanted to move into the temple, but Prabhupada said, no, it's better you stay outside and do your work and you help support the temple. And nobody else had a job, nobody else had any support. Somehow it was going on. It wasn't until later somehow Vishnujan and Tamal Krishna joined, and then they started the Sankirtan party and they started distributing back to Godheads and actually collecting some money to support themselves. So Jayananda was practically the only support for that temple. And eventually Jayananda, his whole life savings was about $5,000. Now in 1969, or before that even, 67 I guess, that was a lot of money. Now that $5,000 is nothing. But that was a lot of money, and that was his whole life savings. And Prabhupada had finished the manuscript of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he wanted to get it printed. So Jayananda gave that his whole life savings, he gave that $5,000 to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada printed Bhagavad Gita as it is. So the first time in the Western world somebody had a translation of Bhagavad Gita with a bona fide commentary coming through the disciplic succession. So we're all deeply indebted to Jayananda. Eventually Jayananda, he became the At some point, they pitied the president. He would, since he was working with cars all the time, then he began working in all the temple cars. Because the old days, the devotees' cars were very famous for breaking down. They were famous for doors that didn't open, and windows that didn't roll down, and cars that would just stop in the middle of the highway. Later, when we became a little opulent, the prophet said, we should not buy these old cars. We should only buy new cars. These old cars are just nothing but a headache. And so Jayananda, he knew how to work on cars, so he was always working on the cars. And he's always covered with black grease from head to toe. And I remember Jai Rishi was here one year when was Jayananda's disappearance, and he told us that he was just a bhakta in LA, and he always heard that in San Francisco they had this pure devotee. They had actual pure devotee. Because Jayananda was so sincere and he was so humble. And he couldn't tolerate it. If you criticize anybody, Jayananda would leave. He never talked bad about anyone. He never even listened bad about it. If anybody was talking bad about it, some devotee, he just went away. And he was so devoted to Prabhupada. Next time Prabhupada came to San Francisco, Jayananda pulled up with a car to pick him up. And he was Prabhupada's driver. He drove him around San Francisco. So Jai Rishi heard there's this pure devotee in San Francisco Temple, Jayananda Prabhu. So one time, he went to San Francisco, and he was walking around the temple, and there was a car parked there. And in the old days, nowadays they have these big machines that lift the car up and you could work on it like that. But in the old days they had this piece of plywood with some roller skates on it. And you could lie on your back and roll underneath the car. So somebody was underneath the car, just this completely filthy black trousers were visible. So underneath the car he saw Jai Rishi's feet. He said, Prabhu, can you hand me that wrench over there? So Jai Rishi went over, he picked up that wrench, he handed it to Jayananda. And Jayananda did whatever he had to do. And he came out, he said, thank you very much, Prabhu. What's your name? Where are you from? He said, I'm from LA Temple. My name is Jai Rishi. And your name, Prabhu? Well, my name is Jayananda. And he had come to San Francisco, the pure devotee. He had completely starched and pressed, perfectly saffron robes on, and completely shaved head, you know, a little sikha, and he would walk around with barely touching the ground, with his head high, chanting his rounds. And this guy rolled up underneath his car, covered with black grease from head to toe, and said, my name is Jayananda, bro. Nice to meet you. But that was Jayananda. At some point they made him president. He wasn't really set up for being president. He couldn't. Jayananda was too soft-hearted to chastise people. I was just reading a letter on Facebook last night. Prabhupada said, yes, this person is a little crazy. I think it is a good idea that we don't let him come inside the temple. I know Jayananda, brothers, I know Jayananda is very soft-hearted, but we should keep him out. So one of my favorite stories about Jayananda is Jayananda, he loved prasadam. One thing Jayananda loved more than prasadam was Prabhupada. But he loved prasadam. And Sunday feasts would come around, and everybody would be sitting down taking the Sunday feast, and Jayananda would go in the pujari room, and he'd grab the whole tray of mahaprasad. So everybody's busy with the feast, so nobody's watching. And he'd take, if somebody caught him, they'd say, come on, come on. And they go out back behind the temple and eat the whole plate of all the mahaprasad. So one time, there was a wonderful devotee named Keshava, who was president of, I guess that time it was Berkeley Temple. No, he was president of San Francisco Temple. And they got a program, they arranged a program in the penitentiary in Berkeley, on the other side of the bay. And the president of Berkeley Temple at that time was Donevere. Now Donevere, we used to call him Mr. Enthusiasm. He was very enthusiastic, but a little bit naive. So Jayananda and Keshava, they called up Donevere and said, "Hey Donevere, we got this program on your side of the bay near Berkeley at the penitentiary." Penitentiary is a fancy name for jail. Long-term jail. So we want you to make lots and lots of halava with lots and lots of butter. Now in Bharat, we make halava with ghee. But in America, we make it with butter. And there's a different taste to butter halava. It just has a nice taste, different from ghee halava. It's in lots and lots of butter and puts lots and lots of strawberries in it. And we want you to make Simply Wonderfuls. That was practically the only sweet we knew in those days. You just rolled up some powdered milk and some powdered sugar together, and you rolled it into the balls, and you rolled it in the powdered milk so it had little speckles all around it. And that, those were called Simply Wonderfuls. And somebody asked Prabhupada one time in a class, "What happens if somebody takes a Simply Wonderful?" And Prabhupada said, "He will take this Simply Wonderful, he will come to your temple and see that this Krishna consciousness is Simply Wonderful, and he will become Simply Wonderful." So he said, "Make lots and lots of Simply Wonderful, a lot of butter and a lot of, oh, that's another thing, powdered sugar, butter, and powdered milk. And lots of strawberries in them also." So then they had this old paneled van that the little window between the backside and the driver's side was gone. It didn't even have a gas pedal. It was just the peg was there. And Jayananda tied it onto his toe. He had a string tied around his toe. And somehow he worked the clutch and the brake with his left foot. And he drove. So they drove the San Francisco devotees over to Berkeley. And they picked up the Berkeley devotees and they loaded all this prasadam into the back of the truck. And then they started down the road. And Keshava says, "You know, Jayananda, I bet the devotees would be really enthusiastic to distribute this prasadam if they had a taste." "Hey, Keshava," Jayananda is speaking. "Hey, Keshava, that's a great idea." So Keshava yelled back, "So pass out plates of simplies and halava to everyone, and pass two plates up here for us." So they passed two plates through the window. Jayananda is there driving with a string tied around his toe and working the clutch and brake with his left foot and eating all this halava and Simply Wonderful. "Hey Jayananda, that was really great. Donovan really made nice prasadam. I think we should try some more. Yeah, pass out some more of the halava and simplies and pass a couple of plates up here." You know. And after a while, they kept saying, "Oh yeah, that was really good. How about some more?" And finally, Donevere, he looked in the pot, and there was just grease and a little few crumbs of semolina, cream of wheat stuck to the pot. And the tray of Simply Wonder, just the powdered milk that had fallen off the Simplies that were rolled in, that was all that was left. And Donevere was, "Oh my God! Huh? We're so fallen. We're so fallen. We ate all of that prasadam that was meant for the fallen, conditioned souls. We've eaten it all." And Dhanavir was so upset. They drove up to the penitentiary. This guard comes over. He rolls open the side of the van. He says, "You don't have any food in here. Huh? You have any food? You know it's illegal to bring food inside the penitentiary." "Oh no, sir, we don't have any food in this van." That was Jayananda. That was their whole plan all along. "Oh no, sir, there's no food inside this van." And Jayananda He never liked to waste Lakshmi. And so he's always working on the cars. He always had old clothes. Practically, he was just holes sewed together with some cloth. You know? And it was embarrassing. The guests would come, they see this guy with all these holes, you know, sewed together. Jayananda, you got to get some clothes. So finally they gave Jayananda some money. He went to a place called Goodwill. This is an organization. They collected old clothes, fixed them up a little bit, and then resold them and made money to feed the drunks and other poor people. So they had these stores. So he went to the store, and he was just thinking, how can I just can't spend any money on myself. How can I take Krishna's money and spend it for me? So he went to the dressing room, he put on the cloth, clothes, some pants and a shirt, then he put his old cloth over top of it. But since it was all holes, you could see right through. It was pretty easy for the security guard to spot him. So the security guard grabbed him and they called the police. And he was arrested. And then he came to court. So the policeman came there to the court. They brought Jayananda in. And the judge said, told him right out that he was shoplifting. He said, "Do you plead guilty or not guilty?" He said, "Well, Your Honor, I plead guilty, but I'd like to say something." So the judge said, "All right. He said, whatever you want to say, you can speak." "You see, Judge, everything I have is meant for God, you know, and this money was actually God's money, and I just couldn't do it, sir. I just couldn't do it, Your Honor. I just couldn't spend this money on myself, you know, because this is meant for God's service. I just couldn't do it." And he was crying. And the judge started crying. And the judge said, "All right, case dismissed." And the policeman said, "I'll pay for him, I'll pay for him." That was Jayananda. And in the old days, since we didn't have any money, we used to go to the supermarkets, behind the supermarket, where they throw things out. Because the bananas, when they got black spots all over them, they're perfectly ripe. That's the best time. But they can't sell them in the store, because they sit in the store for a few days, so no store will buy them. Or no store will put them out on display. So they just throw off, you know, big 20 kilo boxes of bananas. They just throw it. And we get those bananas, the eggplant have a few little orange spots on them. Throw out the whole lot, you know, so we get all these things. And he would go down to the wholesale market. And these are all rough Italian mafioso guys. But they all love Johnny Ananda. He told everybody his name is Johnny Ananda. He figured they couldn't say Jayananda, so Johnny Ananda they could relate to. And they gave so much stuff to Jayananda, he would have to go to orphanages and other places and drop off some of this stuff. And they all loved Johnny, and he'd always take prasad. And he'd feed all these big, heavy mafioso guys. He'd all feed them all prasad. And they all loved him dearly. And you get so much things donated like that. And somehow they decided to do Rath Yatra. There's a whole story of how Lord Jagannath came Malati we call it five-finger discount. She picked up this funny little looking figure at an Indian import store, and Prabhupada immediately bowed when he saw this figure and said, "Were there any others?" So she went and got back and got the other two. So that's how Jagannath came to San Francisco. So then Shyam Sundar made some deities. And Prabhupada really talked about Rath Yatra. So he said, "All right, we'll do Rath Yatra." So at that time, they just got an old flatbed truck, and they had this, you know, Subhadra was facing backwards, Jagannath was facing this way, Baladeva was facing this way. They all three were facing different ways in the back of this truck, and they did Ratha Yatra like that, with this old flatbed truck. At that time, Prabhupada was a little sick, so he was staying up a little outside of San Francisco in this house. And after Ratha Yatra, they just continued all the way up to the house, and Prabhupada was just so shocked. No, no, the Lord goes out for pray, but then you take him back to the temple. You don't drive him here or there. So then Jayananda said, we have to do it right, you know. So he started making these big carts. And Jayananda would get anybody and everybody to help out. And I remember one bhakti, so they went with Jayananda. All day we drove around. And Jayananda said he's looking for wood for the rath carts. But we never got any wood. We just drove around. You'd see, oh, there's, you know, these... They have these big round things that cables, they wind the cables around. They're two big wheels like that, and a spool in the center. Jayananda would note down that those were the empty ones were there, and some wood was over there. But he never got anything. Then in the night, it's called midnight auto supply. And at the night, he would go around and collect all these things. So then he somehow or other managed to put together this cart. Jayananda was so expert, he could engage anybody. Even a drunk would come along, somehow he'd get that drunk to help out. Some young hippie came, and he was watching the devotees build the cart. And Jayananda said, you know something about hammering? He said, well, I never hammered. No, no, you just hold the nail like this and you hit it with the hammer. Here, look. I'll hold the nail and you hit it. And so he hit the nail. Wow! You sure you're not a carpenter or something? Jayananda never criticized devotees, but he would always glorify people. He said, you must be a carpenter. No, I've never done this before in my life. But you're a natural. Here, now you hold it and you hit it. Oh, bam! Wow! That was wonderful. You're really good. You sure you weren't a carpenter before? I said, no. I said, now you just do that. And that person was all day long was nailing the cart. You know who that was? Jai Vatakamar. And some of the craziest people Jayananda would engage. I remember he bought one crazy complete. He had broken his arm, and the police were looking for him. He brought him to Portland Temple, to my temple. We tried to engage him, but it was impossible for us. He had a broken arm, and he just broke the cast off. He didn't like the cast. It was too hot. So he just broke it. This type of a character. Then somewhere along the line, Jayananda, of course, he made that beautiful card. And he's on Subhadra Kart, Prabhupada was riding, and they went through Golden Gate Park, and you've seen the pictures and the videos. It's amazing. Even to this day, the city of San Francisco has Rath Yatra Day. It's official day in the city, Rath Yatra Day. There was all the preaching of Jayananda. He would go around the city officials and get permissions and things like this. They made these big carts with great big wheels. And then they had the first real Ratha Yatra. Then after that, Jayananda decided it was too much because the wheels were solid wood. Just all these wooden planks all, you know, cut off round and nailed together. They're super heavy. So he decided to make the wheels out with iron. And Prabhupada told him, don't do it. But he didn't listen. There's one time he didn't listen to Prabhupada. And somehow or other, the rim, he didn't make it with thick enough metal. And he didn't put the spokes. He needs a lot of spokes because these carts are heavy. So there was just a few little spokes. And as soon as the cart started, they just flattened out. So, and they weren't coordinated, so one would be going up and the other would be going down. Bhakti Siddhanta was there at that Ratha. He thought it was part of the show. The Ratha Yatra was going like this. And Jayananda, everything was falling apart, and Jayananda's trying to hold it all together. And they had to leave. One cart broke down, Balaram's cart broke down, so they put him with Jagannath. Bhakti says that was sort of the show. These carts were just, you know, they hit those flat part, boom, go down, and they go up on the edge and another flat part, and they wouldn't be synchronized. So it was just going crazy. Anyway, they figured out how to do it later. Then at some point, Jayananda joined up with Vishnujana and Tamal Krishna. He would travel around on the bus doing Sankirtan. I remember sometimes they came to Portland and Jayananda was so happy. I said, now we're going to get, he would say, because he loved prasad, now we're going to get nice prasad in this Dinabandhu's temple. Because we were famous. Even Vishnujana Maharaj said, this is the first temple, and I've been to 32 so far, that has nice prasadam. And he said, because we used to go out way in the countryside and get this raw milk. And he said, Jayananda said, nobody else has sweet rice like this except New Vrindavan. Only New Vrindavan beats you. But we made really nice sweet rice there. So Jayananda knew me from Portland. So one year he was making the Ratha Yatra cars, he was arranging the Ratha Yatra, and we drove down. And they'd just gotten this big machine that was a great big contraption that had two doors that you, they're all stainless steel. And it was like the double wall. So in between, steam would go around and cook everything. And then had a great big pot, like a gigantic thing like this, with double jacket with steam in it. And you could do 50 pounds of something in one of those ovens. There's two of them, so you could do 100 pounds of sabji at once. So Jayananda went out and he got 1 ton of potatoes and 1 ton of cauliflower. And used to go to the dairies, and oh, Jayananda was funny. He put on some big overalls, you know, and he'd go to the dairy, because all the dairies, there's a date that after this date they can't sell it. It's not supposedly fit for human consumption. But Jayananda put on these big overalls and said, yeah, I got a hog farm. We want to feed our hogs, you know. Whatever milk, outdated milk you got, and whatever milk products you got, you give to us. She used to get all this sour cream and milk, and half and half means half milk, half cream. Oh boy, when you make halava, you used to make halava with that. You haven't had halava till you had strawberry half and half halava. So he got all the sour cream, and then he came just like a big brother and put his arm around my shoulder and pulled me to his side. Says, Dinabandhu, I got a service for you. I just come down, I was a president of Portland Temple, I just came down to enjoy the Ratha Yatra. He said, Prabhu, I got a service for you. He said, we got 1 ton of cauliflower, and we got 1 ton of potatoes, and we got this steamer machine, and I want you to cook that all up, all night long. So there it was all night, you know. We put 50 pounds of potatoes and 50 pounds of cauliflower, then throw it into the pot, and 50 pounds and 50 pounds, and throw it into the big pot, and then we throw in all the sour cream and tomatoes and spices and salt, and stir it all around, and then put it in pots, and again, all night long I was cooking by Jayananda's coaxing. By morning time I was cooked. But that was Jayananda. He was very expert to get people, engage people. So some point along the way, Jayananda decided that they were going to do Rath Yatra in New York. So they went to New York. The same thing, they drive around all day looking for wood and things, and they go collect it at night. And they were building this big Rath carts. That time was only one. And the Jayananda, and nobody knew when Jayananda, at the last few days of Rath Yatra building the carts, nobody knew when Jayananda slept. He would just all day, day and night be working and working and working, doing something. It was just amazing. One night, Kesha Bharati Maharaj just happened to get up to go to the bathroom. And he saw Jayananda walking in the hall. And Jayananda was completely doubled over like this. Because he didn't think anybody was watching him. And Keshavari said, Jayananda, what's the matter? Jayananda said, oh, nothing's the matter. Jayananda, I saw you. Something's the matter. He said, no, nothing's the matter. Jayananda, I saw you. Something's the matter. And he said, you promise you won't tell anyone until after Rath Yatra? He said, okay, I promise, until after Rath. But after Rath Yatra, you immediately have to go to the doctor, the hospital. So then he showed him all these weird sores all over his arms and legs and everything, because eventually he figured out that he had leukemia. But he was working day and night sometimes, day and night without stop, and just hiding it from the devotees. But somehow Rath Yatra came off. That must have been, that brass, I don't know, what do you call it? Display there in the Prabhupada Samadhi. That must have been one of the greatest days of happiness for Prabhupada. First he was doing, as a little kid, on Mahatma Gandhi Road and Radha Govinda Temple, around the courtyard with his little tiny cart. And here, according to the material calculation, Fifth Avenue is the most important street in the world. Of course, we know Kunj Gali is the most important street in the world. But anyway, according to the materialists, Fifth Avenue. And there was Prabhupada riding down Fifth Avenue for Rath Yatra in New York. And what happened before that Rath Yatra in New York was one night, because of the wires, they made the system so the cart would go up and down and up and down. Because of all the wires. In America, so many wires are there. Telephone wires, electric wires, this cable, that cable. So they were trying it out one night, and they had this big empty parking lot, which by chance happened to belong to Trump. This is the one thing that Trump did good in his life. Because it belonged to the railroad, but they had sold it to Trump. And Trump said, yeah, you can use it. So he let the devotees use that empty lot to build the first Rath Yatra cart in New York. That's the one thing he did, pious thing, to his credit. But there's all these big, you know, New York is all big buildings. All these big buildings were there. Everybody was watching this thing go up. So one night they decided to try out the crank. And they cranked up the canopy and it went up. And all of a sudden, a huge gust of wind came. And it hit that cloth, caught the cloth. The whole thing snapped. And this old New York couple had been sitting in their living room, you know, watching out the window with all this going on. And they came downstairs. They were practically in tears because they saw how hard the devotees, especially Jayananda, had been working on this thing. And somehow or other, this wind just came out of nowhere and broke it, snapped the thing. There was no way they were going to have it ready for the next day. But somehow Jayananda worked all night, and it was ready for the next day, and they had the Rath Yatra festival with Prabhupada riding. And they got it to Washington Square Park, and nobody saw Jayananda. Where's Jayananda? And finally they looked around, and way up inside the canopy, Jayananda just found some place and just crashed. He's sleeping inside the canopy of the Radhyachakart. So then Keshavarti came and said, "All right, Jayananda, I kept my word. I haven't told anybody. Now, tomorrow, you have to go to the hospital." "Okay, Prabhu." So he went to the hospital. And he called up Keshavarti. Because he was Brahmachari then. He said, "Prabhu, it's very serious. It's called leukemia. The doctor doesn't give me more than a few weeks to live. I only have a couple of weeks to live." He said, "Oh, Jayananda, that's heavy. So yeah, I want you to make a bunch of halava and a bunch of simply wonderfuls and bring them down to the hospital." So Keshavarti thought, look at this, he wants to have a big feast. So he brought this pot of halava and all this tray of simply wonderfuls down to his hospital room. And Jayananda got out of the bed. He was on this drip. He just took the machine, it had wheels, you know, the little thing that was dripping to him on wheels. And he said, "Come with me." And because he thought that Jayananda was going to eat all this prasad. And they went down to the TV room, and all the patients were there in the TV room. And he turned off the TV. And then he started preaching to all the patients and telling them all, explaining them all about Krishna consciousness. And then he told Keshavarti, "You go around and give everybody some halava and some simply wonderfuls." And Keshavarti was shocked. You know, this guy just told he only has a couple more weeks to live, and the first thing he does is go out and does a preaching program and distribute prasadam. That was Jayananda. Anyway, Jayananda tried in so many ways to cure, but it's, in those days it wasn't curable. I don't even know now if it's curable or not. But there was one place in Mexico that it wasn't legal in the United States, but their process was working for some people. It didn't work for Jayananda. So they sent Jayananda down to Mexico on a bus with some bhakta. And they're going along the highway, and Jayananda tells that bhakti, get my bag out of the overhead bin. So he gets his bag out of the overhead bin, and Jayananda opens up, and here's this big package of halava, peanut butter halava. Jayananda, one of his favorites was peanut butter halava. So they're going down the highway to Mexico eating peanut butter halava. That was Jayananda. Anyway, eventually he couldn't get cured, so he came back to L.A. He decided to have Rath Yatra in L.A. And the devotees in San Francisco went up in arms and said, "No, you can't do that. San Francisco is Rath Yatra." Anyhow, Jayananda said, "No, we're going to do Rath Yatra in L.A. We're going to have two Rathi at different times." And that's what you do in America. They have all the Rath Yatras are staggers, so you can go to all of them. So anyway, the San Francisco devotees were in great alarm, but anyway, he somehow, over all their objections, he started building this Rath, or getting people to build the Rath. And somehow, he just collected donations and got, you know, called all his friends, and he couldn't do anything. Every once in a while, they'd call him outside, help him with something. And eventually, he was so weak, they had a wheelchair. And he was building Rath Yatra for Los Angeles in the parking lot next to the temple. And one day they called Jayananda. "Hey Jayananda, we got a big problem. We can't figure it out. Only you can figure it out. You have to come." So they put him in his wheelchair. And they wheeled him out to the parking lot. And all the devotees from L.A. Temple were there. And they had this big birthday cake in the shape of a Rath Yatra cart. They knew he would never come if he knew what it was. So they lied to him and told him, "We have a problem, you have to fix it." So the whole temple was there. with this big Rath Yatra cake. And even Jayananda's parents were there. They had come down to see Jayananda. And Jayananda, suddenly he started preaching about Rath Yatra. And he was so weak, he had to sit in this thing, but somehow as the more he spoke, he got livelier and livelier. He finally, with all the strength he had, he pushed himself up. He was standing and preaching about Rath Yatra and chanting the holy names and distributing prasadam. And his parents had tears running down their eyes, standing behind him. So somehow or other they did Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. Then Jayananda, one day, it was Mangalarti time, and this one devotee, this one brahmachari, nobody had told him, he got the idea that I should go get Lord Jagannath's garland. So he went into the pujari room, he got the Mahaprasad garland, and he walked across the street. And Jayananda was in his room in an apartment right across the street from the temple. You hear the conch shell blowing from Mangalarti. And he came in with the garland. He gave it to the devotee who was taking care of Jayananda. Prabhupada's tape was playing. And the devotee put that garland around Jayananda. And at that moment, Jayananda left this world. On this day, I don't know how many, I forget what year that was. 76. But this day, 1976, on the day before Nisringa Chaturdasi. Nobody had told that brahmachari. He just got this idea to get the garland. He came there. They put the garland around. Prabhupada's tape was playing in Jayananda's ear. They put the garland and he left this world. Kancha was blowing from Mangalarti across the street. That was Jayananda's glorious departure. But even in his, after he was gone, Jayananda continued his preaching. Or devotees saw, well, first we'll tell a story about how devotees saw the effect of Jayananda's preaching. Because Jayananda used to go around to all the officials and get all the permissions and everything, and police permission and this permission, that department. And there was one lady. She'd been in some other department that had to approve the Rath Yatra. But eventually it had to go to the mayor. And she'd become the mayor. And this is years and years ago. This was a big deal for a woman to become a mayor of San Francisco. Now it's not such a big deal. But that time it was a big deal, woman mayor. And she must have been a very tough lady. To get to the top. And the devotee went around who was, he was getting all the permissions, and he finally came to the mayor. And she looked at him and said, "Where's Jayananda?" Because she remembered him from all those years he would get the permissions. And then he said, "Well, Jayananda's passed on." So here's this tough lady who made it to the top, mayor of San Francisco, right in front of a total stranger. She just fell on her desk and started crying. Just sobbing. That was Jayananda. And the story doesn't end there. There was one lady named Kalindi, and she was working in a hospice somewhere. And there was one very nice lady that she'd only been there for a week or so. And this girl, Kalindi, she used to always go to work with her neck beads and her tilak. And while she was, because she would help the people, they'd bathe them and clothe them and do things. And she'd always chant Hare Krishna while she was doing her work. And this one lady she really liked somehow or other. And one day, the family came to visit her. and a young boy. He pointed at Kalindi, he pointed his forehead at Kalindi's tilak. He said, "You are Hare Krishna?" He said, "Yes, I'm Hare Krishna." "Then you must know my uncle. And this is his mother that you're taking care of. You know Jayananda?" And she said, "The Jayananda?" He said, "Yes. She was taking care of Jayananda's mother." And his sister told, "Yeah, I was praying to Jayananda for some support. So you must be the support that Jayananda sent. It's not by accident that you're taking care of our mother." And after a few days, she died. But they were so impressed by this devotee that they invited her to the funeral ceremony. Even Jayananda, even in his mother's death, he was preaching. She began preaching from Bhagavad Gita and so many other verses, and preaching to all these people who ordinarily wouldn't run into a devotee. But that was Jayananda. So I'm sure there's so many stories about Jayananda. I really said, "Nanda, you had any association?" Speak louder. So electric. When he would chant, japa, he would put so much energy. When he'd do kirtan, especially guru puja for Prabhupada, he had so much love for Prabhupada, so absorbed. I remember one other story Jayavishi told one year here, that somehow Jayananda convinced him to stay up all night working with him. So early in the morning, Jayavishi went back. And he went inside this closet and shut the door. He said, "Jayananda will never find me here." And curled up and went to sleep in the closet. And sure enough, as soon as the sun was coming up, the closet door opened and his hand went behind his shoulder. He said, "Jayavishi, we got to do some service." He was hiding in the closet. He still found him. That was Jayananda.
I got a wonderful story. And that's what's, as you're saying, so amazing about Jayananda. I was with Prabhupada 2.5 years. I've seen so many devotees. I didn't see Jayananda. He was always serving.
Yeah, right.
He was always doing service. He wasn't interested in sitting down for darshan, being with Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to serve him. He was, the example of, "Don't try to see Krishna. Krishna tried to see you." He was like that with Prabhupada. And it happened. Prabhupada in San Francisco in 72, when he was on the way to Vrindavan for Kirti. He stopped there and stayed for 2 days. And in the world eating program, he was probably not going to speak. And neither of Jayananda was at the program. He couldn't see the program either. And after the program, of course, all the devotees were coming on to Prabhupada, offering obeisance. He was getting That's also the way it is. So we back some popcorn and flour and that, which would happen after the class. So everyone's coming to see Prabhupada. But Prabhupada got off the Vyasa sign and went into the kitchen to see Jalena. Because the only way you could see him was to go see him. Jayananda was interested in serving. So,
yeah, I remember when your Jayananda came to Vrindavan. He didn't like it at all. He had no service. He went to Mayapur and Vrindavan. He just immediately went back. No service. Anyway, so unless somebody else has a story, we'll end here. Jayananda Thakur ki.